Welcome to the Gab and Jules show, which today is the Don and Jules show. Gab is still away in his Alpine retreat. He will be back soon. Don, thank you so much for coming. We've got a huge show because what an incredible last few days has been for Lionel Messi, Barcelona, yeah. PSG, and all the world of football. We had the Community Shield as well.
Yeah.
Ligue 1 has started. The Premier League is getting ready to start next weekend with other leagues as well. But we have to start with Messi.
Look at the smile on his face. Look at him. Look at him. Is it happening?
The smile hasn't left my face.
Is it happening?
It is happening. He's expected today. We're recording this on Monday morning. He's expected in Paris on Monday.
Wow.
Would be unveiled probably more Tuesday. There was thought about doing it at the Eiffel Tower, you know, grand and everything.
Wow.
It might not happen now for different reasons, but I still cannot believe it.
No.
I promise you, it hasn't really sunk in yet. And I've worked so hard on it since Thursday night when Barca said, listen, he's not continuing here because we just can't afford him.
I didn't believe it, did you?
I thought it was a bluff.
I did. I thought the romance of it, I thought he stays at Barca.
Yeah.
I think there's some sort of power play. Then the sort of days go on. And then I found the watch yesterday of him crying. I found that incredibly sad.
I agree with you. It should not end like this anyway. No. Regardless of what the problem is, why they're in this situation. And we know and we can remind everyone again that right now, their wage bill is far too high for the revenues and the income that they take in, 110%.
Yeah.
But even if you take Messi out of the equation, it's still 95%, which is, again, far too high. The salary cap for La Liga is 70%. Yeah. So even the new players right now can't be registered.
So that's the bizarre thing, isn't it? People like Aguero, people like Depay, pulling in all this wage. And yet Messi's being sort of ushered out the back door on a free.
But to see him cry was just like...
Oh, it was heartbreaking.
It was, because he wanted to stay and that forced him out of the club. And again, after 17 years of being maybe the greatest ever, this is not the way it should end.
And I've been getting questions online, on social media about, because I said he loves the club and it's a shame and it was incredibly sad. If he loves the club that much, I was getting asked, why can't he play for free? Well, that's not allowed. I mean, you wouldn't do it anyway.
No, but minimum wage, but even that, the wage bill would still have been too high. So even if he had said, you know what, pay me £100 a week.
Yeah.
This would not
even
have been
though possible. Griezmann's on 600,000 a week, pay me 100.
Pay me 100. But yet, even with that, Barcelona, La Liga would have said, sorry, the wage bill is still too high. We can't do it. You're not allowed to do it. It's the rules.
Yeah.
And I guess you have to comply with the rules. I thought at some point there would be some sort of agreement and La Liga could not afford to lose Messi. But rules are rules, I guess.
So where do PSG stand in this, then, Jules, when you think of all the top earners and all the superstar Galactico players that they've got with their financial fair play? How can they afford then to bring Messi in on the contract that he's going to be on?
So they say that obviously no transfer fee, which is a big help because then you pay obviously huge wages. But you the amortization of those wages through the length of the contract, the 2+1 year, is far easier to do than having to pay, let's say, a chunk of 100 million euros or 150 million euros as transfer fees. So they said they can do it. They've looked at all the numbers, which they already had done last summer when Messi wanted to leave the first time round. And they're just convinced that only in pure marketing sense of it, the revenue that Messi arriving at the club will bring to PSG.
Mm.
And already I was told this weekend, you've got big brands already calling up, queuing up.
Wow.
Saying we want to be a partner with the club, we want to be a sponsor, let's sit down, let's talk, what can we bring? Even if it's just a sleeve sponsor, you can get 5, 6, 7 million a year for that.
Wow.
So if you add, I don't know, a few big brands, this potentially can bring a lot of money to the club. They looked at the Barcelona numbers and Messi was responsible for 30% of their revenue, over 200 million euros every year. So he's not going to bring that straight away to Paris.
No.
But you know that the revenues are going to increase massively. So
when do you then trade your Neymar 10 shirt in for the Messi shirt? When do you do it?
It's more the Mbappe 7 for a Messi 19. I don't know. Neymar offered him his number 10 shirt.
Yeah.
I don't know if he will take it. I don't know if he will go for another number. It will be already
I'll be
strange.
So disappointed if I don't see you on ESPN with a Messi PSG shirt on.
And you know, Messi in another shirt would be weird.
Yeah.
Or even my team. But if he doesn't have the number 10, that would be even weirder. So I'm really hoping that at least he gets the 10 from Neymar.
Yeah.
Neymar takes another number, I don't care. And then we see Messi at least with the right number and the wrong shirt.
It's exciting, though, isn't it, for PSG fans? It's so exciting. It's incredible.
And I don't think they still believe it. I don't think the whole world can believe it. Yeah, it's only when he will sign the contract, maybe on Tuesday, bottom of the paper, the sheets of paper, yeah, holding the shirt, that then we will really believe it. But it's incredible for Ligue 1. It's incredible for PSG. Not long ago, I tried to explain to my children that 13 years ago, they almost went down to the second division with rubbish players that you, even you who've been in the game for so long, you've never heard of. And yet, 13 years on, to have a front three of Neymar, Mbappe and Messi, arguably, I had a message from Nader Manua, our colleague, yesterday, saying, this is incredible. Do you think this could be the best front three ever? And I said, it will depend how they click, how they complement each other, but technically, it could be.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, wow.
But what grinds my gears is when you hear fans on social media especially, and they go, oh, PSG, money, money, money. All the best teams in the world forever have always bought the best players, whether you're Man City, whether you're Chelsea, whether you're Real Madrid, signing all the Galacticos, Juventus, they buy the best players because they've got the money.
Exactly.
Why should PSG be criticised for trying to get Lionel Messi?
I know, it's almost like it was our fault at some point if he was leaving Barcelona. It's got nothing to do with PSG. You know, Barca made that big announcement, he's not staying with us. That evening, the Thursday evening, Jorge Messi, Lionel's dad, called Nasser Khalifi, called PSG and said, okay, we're leaving, we can't be here. They don't have the money, what can you offer us? And it's history repeating itself because 4 years ago, Neymar's dad called PSG and said, he wants to leave, he wants to come to Paris, can you make this deal happen? And I just find this incredible that 4 years on, almost to the day, this happens again with Messi for different reason and the context is different, but it's incredible. And this is not PSG's fault.
No, it's hard to think where Barca might be in 18 months time.
God, yeah.
You know, really, from where they've been over the last decade.
Yeah.
You know, it's scary times for a Barca fan.
My question to you is, would it be easier now for Ronald Koeman to maybe put more of his ideas into that team, that Messi is not there? Before that, you knew that everything had to go through Messi. There was already patterns of play.
Yeah.
That diagonal for Jordi Alba and he's running behind, this kind of stuff. That's not there anymore. No one would make that pass.
Yeah.
So is it a chance in a way of building something a bit different and say, you know what, I fancy this, and what about this move, and what about this triangle, or you know, whatever? Or does it make it harder for him because Messi isn't there anymore?
I think, Jules, I think it might be a case of a little bit of both, because Messi not being there now puts Ronald Koeman under an awful lot of pressure because it's going to test his management skills. So now he's going to have to find a way of playing without Messi, which they haven't done for a long, long time. You know, so he's going to have to find a way. He's going to have to find a system. They're going to have to win the league. They're going to have to win a trophy. That's for sure, because that's what Barca are. And it's going to test him. But when you're taking arguably the best player that's ever played the game, out of your 11, it doesn't even matter if Messi's got a knock or he's not particularly fit and he's 80% fit, he's probably still better than what you've got. So can you get Depay up and running? Can you get Aguero scoring goals? You know, have you got enough in your matchday squad to get you where you want to be? They've still got people like Coutinho, they've still got people like Dembele, who might be a worry. Are they going to stay? Are they going to go? There's going to be question marks, I think, and it might be a case for a Barca fan just to sort of suck it and see, if you like, see where they are match day one, see where they are in a month's time once you're in the season, and see how they're playing and what the results are, because it's going to be unpredictable, I would have thought.
I agree with you. They played against Juventus on Sunday night in the, you know, Gamper Trophy. I didn't think they played badly. I mean, Juve are behind in terms of fitness and schedule because Serie A starts the week after La Liga, and at times there were good things, I thought. They've got good young players, even if Ilaic, because of a contract situation, is not in the team anymore. But so there's still something there. And, you know, De Jong is a good player. He's a really good player. You've got Griezmann, who's still there. So I think there's Pedri, we saw in the Olympics and in the Euros, fantastic.
Amazing.
But it's still a hell of a rebuilding job, to be fair.
Because youth might be the way, mightn't it? Youth might be the way.
It might be the way. But then what are your expectations with youth? You can't ask them to win La Liga every season for the next 5 years.
It's not yours, the Champions League. It reminds me a little bit when I got in the Liverpool squad or Liverpool team in and around 91, 92, and we had Jamie Redknapp, Rob Jones, Robbie Fowler, Steve McManaman, Steve Harkness, not on the level of what these Barcelona players are, but the same sort of ideas when the manager Graeme Souness come in, he had to get rid of a few older players who had had their time and been legends at the football club. And as a youngster going into a side, you know, you think you know what you're doing at 18 and 19. Of course you don't. In any walk of life, you don't know what you're doing at 18. You think you do, but you don't. And you try and convince people that you do, but you don't. And we were expected, playing for Liverpool at the time, to win the league, obviously. We come nowhere near. We were sixth and seventh.
For what? Because of the pressure?
Not because of the pressure. Because
you're not ready.
We didn't know what we were doing, Jules. Yeah, we had to go up against Man United's, you know, class of 92. We had to go against Chelsea's and Arsenal's and all the good teams at the time. And you're playing for Liverpool, and the expectation is not to come second. You got to win the league. Because every other season in that time, 10 years before that, 80s into early 90s, it was Liverpool and Everton that were going to Wembley every other week to win a trophy. So you step into a Liverpool shirt like the young boys are stepping into a Barca shirt. Second and third's not good enough.
Yeah.
You've got to be winning.
Yeah.
So that puts pressure on, and you're trying to find your identity. You're trying to find the way you're playing with the likes of Griezmann. Where's he going to play? Where's Depay? Where's Aguero? Where's all these players going to play? So you're finding it, and you're sort of working on the job, if you like, and you're learning on the job. So it's going to be interesting. They're great players. You don't sign for Barcelona unless you're a great player or the mentality's there. That's the one thing I would say. If you're playing for Liverpool and Man United and Barcelona and Real Madrid, you've got the mentality.
Yeah.
The managers have done the homework. You've got character. So they know that these young players, and especially the older players like Busquets, will help them along. But it's going to be interesting to see how they gel.
And do you need a leader again? Or do you expect your collective strength, or the collective strength that you're going to build now, because you're not that they were a one-man team before, but they, you know, like we said, they were so dependent on him.
Yeah.
Now he's not there. You build that collective strength, I guess, and maybe you make your team stronger.
Yep.
Or do you look for a leader, a Memphis Depay, who certainly, as you said, has the character, looks like he has the maturity, he's played really well in preseason. He's wearing the number 9 right now because 10 was not available. What happens with 10? They might retire it, and I think that's what they should do.
Yep.
But if they don't, I mean, I think anyone would be crazy to carry that number. But hey, but do you look for leaders, or do you bet more on the collective strength?
No, I think if you're a young player in that team and in that squad, you look to the older players. You look for them to lead the way.
So
in terms
Piqué
of the example,
and Busquets.
Busquets, exactly, and Piqué, 100%. And then once Messi's not there, maybe you'll see one or two youngsters start to shine a little bit, because it's very easy when you go into a big team to go, here's the ball, Messi.
Exactly.
Here's the ball. You do it because you're the best in the world. You're the best we've ever seen. So if I'm playing that Barca shirt, I'm going, here you go.
All the time, player.
Now all of a sudden he's not there. You haven't got him to carry you in tough situations. You go, well, I've got to start doing it. I've got to start being the man, even though I'm at 18, 19, 20.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. And I might play with a little bit more freedom. So these young players have got a big role to play, but I would certainly imagine behind the scenes, from a Monday to a match day, you would lean on the likes of Busquets for sure, because you know he's a model pro. You know Piqué's a model pro, so you can lean on them for any sort of advice. And you've got Koeman, who's a really good manager. So there's enough experience for these young boys to lean on, and I think they should do that, but also have the confidence to go and fly and go and play how they want to play.
Mm. I mean, Koeman, not sure I agree with you on the great manager, but that's one for another time.
I'll retract the great manager, good manager.
But and I know it's a bit cliche, but how important is the start of the season? They play Real Sociedad, which is not an easy game at all to start with, who's certainly talking about collective strength. That's what they have, because they've been playing for the same manager together for 2-3 years now, with great young players and great, more experienced ones. If you don't start well, on the back already of the heartbreak of losing Messi, the way it all happened, everybody's crying right now in Barcelona. You have hardly a time. The turnaround is so quickly that if you lose that first game, then let's say draw the second one or something, and then, my God,
You can imagine it, can't you? You can imagine, say, Barca drawing the game or losing the game. The fascination is how it's going to play, how the end result is going to be.
Mm.
If it doesn't go well, they can't win without Messi.
Yeah.
Koeman's a bad manager.
Exactly.
You know the narrative. You know exactly what's going to happen. If Barcelona win and they win comfortably, who needs Messi?
Yeah.
That's just the way we work nowadays.
Yeah,
isn't it? It's a shame, but that's just the way we are. And social media is. They judge very quickly. Bigger picture is.
Mm.
As I said before, it depends on your taste. I will still always try and lean towards Maradona being the best ever.
Yeah.
But that was my era, and I'm finding it hard because Messi's obviously a genius. So anyone that says Messi's the best in the world forever and he's the greatest of all time, I'll go with that. But now you haven't got him. That's going to be very interesting how that Sociedad game plays out. But it's a must win. It's certainly a must not lose.
Yeah, because there's also a point where, okay, they got themselves into this situation where the way they've managed that club has been crazy, right? Otherwise, you would never be with a wage bill worth 110% of your income. And there's also an argument that they've let down Messi in many ways for not being able to have a team at the level of his incredible talent.
That's probably why he wanted to leave last season.
Exactly. And you think, okay, at times you try to get Coutinho, you went to get Coutinho because you thought maybe that could help Messi, but that was stupid.
It was an inflated market though, Joel, wasn't it? When Neymar left, it was almost like, well, every good player, every potentially great player has got to be worth over 100 million. Yeah. It was like an inflated market. It was like,
there was no strategy.
Dembele was a really good player, potentially one of the most exciting youngsters out there, but not over 100 million.
No.
And it was like, the club's been mismanaged so bad.
It's crazy.
For a period of time where you just think,
I don't get it.
Me neither. And then I don't get what's happening in the present where you go, you're letting Lionel Messi go, but you're signing Aguero on huge wages. You're signing Depay on huge wages.
Yeah.
You know, the boys that are already there are going to be on huge wages. You can't get them out the door. Coutinho's value now, after 100 million plus transfer fees, probably down to about 25.
Maximum.
Shame. Same as Dembele with his injury record. So the club and whoever's in charge, you'd want to have a conversation and go, what's your plan?
I know.
What's your strategy? It doesn't make sense to me.
It's an absolute mess. And you know what I would like to see is, so Messi said goodbye, farewell or whatever, in that press conference. It was really sad. And he won't have the great goodbye and sending off and stuff, but he could still go back, let's say at the end of August, for example. Let's say PSG play on a Saturday night and he plays that game, and then Sunday Barca at home against, I don't care, Getafe, and then the Camp Nou is full because he's coming back there. They put all the trophies on the pitch before the game, and then he goes, and then he gets, it won't be the same, but he would be a bit like,
it'll never be the same though, will it?
No, but still, at least he would have this incredible ovation for, like, I don't know, applaud him for 10 minutes if you want, shout his name and everything, but at least there will be a bit of that. It'd be better than what we saw on Sunday.
Or the school of thought might be, right, he's gone, let's try and move on. I'm with you, by the way. Yeah. I'm 100% with you, because I think in an RD world, I think you could see it in what he was saying yesterday, and you can see the pain, you can see everything in his tears, that he wanted to go out having played his last game at the new camp.
He wanted to go out, win,
lose a draw. Mm. You know, in a fairy tale world, you score a hat trick, you play, you get a standing ovation, you walk around the pitch 10 times,
with your family,
with your family. That's the ideal way to bow out. And now he hasn't even got that. Yeah. And then when the cameras panned out yesterday, I don't know why I was expecting. I was expecting like 1,000 people to be in there. It was like some players, close family.
Yeah.
And it was
a
like.
A few journalists, and that's
and
it.
And a door. And it was like, man, this is like, it's unbelievable.
It should not end like this.
It's crazy, but I'm with you. I mean, at some point, can he go back and just support the team that he loves?
Yeah.
Get an ovation, you know, and do a couple of laps, and the fans can adore him again. Because he's always going to be a legend.
Yeah,
it might be raw for Barca fans now.
Yeah,
it's going to be painful.
It's
going to be painful. It's going to be raw. Might take them a little bit of time to get over it. But when the dust settles, all said and done, that's why I brought the Maradona thing up.
Yeah, of course.
Then the Barca fans will truly appreciate how
completely
utterly amazing he was.
I mean, I think it's 900 games he played, 17 years. There's 752 goals.
Yeah, I think I've seen something like that. Yeah, I think
assists.
I've seen like 800 games. Like,
it's crazy, man.
690 goals. It's like, I said, these numbers will never be hit again.
Never again.
And people are going, well, records are there to be broken.
No.
There'll be a young player coming through. And I'm like, I don't see it. I don't see what Messi and Ronaldo have done.
I found that stat.
Anyone coming through to hit them numbers.
Since 08-09. So he was born in 77. So, you know, the season where he was 21, let's say.
Yeah.
There's not a single season where his goal plus assist ratio is under one per game, which means that since 08, every season he's at least one goal and assist per game.
Yeah.
It's just like, you can't do that. If you reach 0.5 ratio goal per game, you're already incredible. But he's on one.
I know.
One every game.
There was one I saw the other day that blew my mind, and I might be out on some of the numbers, but it was something like, if you started your career now and you hit 40 goals a season in 15 years' time, you'd still be 100 behind. And it's like, what? What? 40 goals
and
a season?
What, Laporta said something in his press conference on Friday. He said, no player is bigger than the club. And it's not an offence to Barcelona fans or to the club. But for me, Messi was bigger than Barcelona. And maybe that's why they're in this mess, in the sense that they tried to bring players that they paid far too much for, and because they always wanted to say, okay, Leo, look, we're signing him and we're signing him to give you the... Which was not the way.
No,
it was not the way. They got it wrong completely. But for me, he was probably bigger than that club. And if he wants to be bigger than PSG for the next 3 years, yeah, it's good, man. You can be bigger than my club every single day if you want. No problem. If you're Pochettino now, and we know he had a long chat with him over the phone on Friday, and they talked about a lot of things and tactics especially, what do you do? We saw Messi in the last season playing a bit more central, so you're not playing wide like you used to. There's probably less running, not that he used to do a lot anyway. But do you play him a bit more central, him and Mbappe, for example, and then you have Neymar somewhere and Di Maria somewhere?
Yeah.
Or do you play 4-3-3 with Neymar on the left, Messi on the right, and Mbappe, or a bit of both?
Fascinating. I remember going back to a World Cup at 18 a few years back, and I watched France in the opening game, and they had their front three, Galacticos everywhere, but no set number nine. I can remember watching them thinking, before the game, I'm thinking, oh, France will be good. Yeah, they've got Griezmann, they've got Dembele, they've got these superstar players that'll just find a way of playing. And in the opening game, France struggled.
Yeah, it was Australia.
Was Australia.
Yeah, he was.
And the game after, they played Giroud as a number nine.
Yeah, perfect.
Never scored a goal, but he was brilliant and won the World Cup. And some players need that number nine, that focal point, just to bounce off.
Yeah.
So I've always thought Mbappe will be the best number nine in the world in 18 months' time, and I've probably gone back when I said that a year. But now I'm starting to lean towards, actually, his best position might be out wide left. Mm. Centrally might not be his strong point or not just yet. So I'm wondering whether Icardi has a role to play as being that sort of static number nine that you can bounce off. But when you've got Messi and you've got these legendary players like Neymar, like Icardi and Di Maria and all the brilliant players that they've got, and Mbappe, your Pochettino, I talked about Koeman being under pressure. You know, Poch is now under pressure, isn't he?
Yeah.
Because with this squad and your potential 11, you've got to win Ligue 1, you've got to win it comfortably, and you start getting close to the Champions League. Well, they've got one step further than they were the season before by getting knocked out the semis, then they get to the final. So one step further would be huge for them. But now you've got to sort of go and win it.
Yeah.
But it's going to be interesting to see what sort of style, system he plays. Mm. You might play Messi as a false nine.
Yeah.
But I think with those three especially, I think you say to Neymar, go and play.
Yeah.
Messi, go and play. You know, Mbappe, can you do a Thierry Henry? Can you start in the middle? And can you feed your way out left and have the intelligence of Messi and Neymar? But it's going to be interesting to see how they do it and how Poch does it.
It's all about balance as well, isn't it? Because those three won't defend. You know it already. So then you have to make sure that Wijnaldum or Idrissa Gueye, Verratti, I don't know, whoever, or you play a three at the back, so you've got maybe a bit more solidity somewhere.
Marquinhos might be the man this season.
And you can play maybe Marquinhos, where Tuchel loved playing him in that holding midfielder role.
So he might be the sort of, not the linchpin, but he might be the one, the glue that holds all them superstars together by saying, this is my role, this is exactly what I'm going to do. Go and do your thing.
Yeah, maybe. And then if you play, you know, I think Wijnaldum has a big role to play because his intensity and the running and the work rate and everything would be exactly what they need. Idrissa Gueye can run forever too.
Yeah.
Not as good technically, but if you ask him to run and to just get the ball there and then make sure you close the space.
Basic, isn't it? You get the ball and you give it to those
But
three.
Then you also have to be careful not to have a 7+3. So you give the ball to Messi and then only those three attack and the other seven just wait for the defensive transition because that's not going to work either. No. Certainly not in the top games. But for example, if you remember the Dani Alves-Messi sort of partnership, I'm excited already about the Hakimi-Messi partnership. Yeah. If Messi plays on that kind of right-hand side, you can just imagine Hakimi is
as a Rolls Royce, isn't he?
Yeah, it's a bit like Dani Alves, to be fair, in the way he plays the game or sees the game. And you can just imagine the combination between them
excited.
Two.
Like, you get excited. Look at you.
I can't get too carried away.
No, I am, though. I am for you. I am for PSG fans. I am, because you just think, this is incredible. Because it's been incredible for like two or three seasons, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's been like building up to this.
Yeah.
Not to this point, because no one sees it coming.
No, of course.
But then you chuck Messi in the mix and you go, my goodness.
You don't know how many messages I've had already on friends or family saying, when are we going? What game can we go? What about this date? Are you free that date? I'm like, leave me alone.
I'll tell you in 2 days' time.
Can you get tickets for the game on August the 29th against Reims? Can you get tickets for the big classic against Marseille? Can you get this? Can you get that? And what about this? And what about that? Already my phone was going mental all weekend.
So now you find out who your friends are now, Jules.
Everybody's my friend now.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Well, I guess we'll have to see. We expect him maybe to start at the end of the month, because he would need a good fitness program and all of that. So I'm sure we will talk about it a lot between now and when he makes his debut and then the big games. But
I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be amazing.
We're We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/gab. Just go to Indeed.com/gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Right, Don, we also have the first trophy. I mean, if you believe Jose Mourinho, this is a trophy, the Community Shield in England. Leicester won it against Manchester City on Saturday at Wembley. Let's start with the winners, and I think they were worthy winners. What did you make of Leicester's performance?
I thought they played well. I thought they looked sharp. I thought they looked ahead of where Man City are. I think the preseason's been good. I thought Maddison played really well. I thought Harvey Barnes looked sharp. Vardy is Jamie Vardy. He'll come alive once the season starts, and he doesn't carry any weight anyway. He's super slim, isn't he? But I thought Brendan's tactics were good. I think at the two teams, you could see in the lineups especially, who wanted it more. If you're a Leicester fan, they keep rolling on and they keep marching on, and they're trying to break that monopoly to try and get in the top four. So for a Leicester fan, a trophy in the cabinet, you can get off to a good start, bit of confidence. For City, I think work to do, Jules.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as you said, it was far more the first team of Leicester. I know they lost Fofana to that horrendous injury, which is bad, and I don't know if they will go and get someone to replace him.
Talking about Yannick Vestergaard.
Yeah, Vestergaard. Zuma is also available, maybe. I don't know what kind of profile. If they go for someone, they might keep Evans and Soyuncu and then Amarty as the sort of backup. But it was closer to the team that you expect from them, the first team, first 11, then City, who played a few kids like Cole Palmer, who looked really decent kid, but he was still nowhere near the starting 11 that you would expect City and Pep to put out. And I agree with you, fitness-wise, I thought they were sharp. Leicester, really sharp. I like Barnes and that energy, Maddison, the way they pressed, and, you know, the organisation was really, really
Herrera
good.
Herrera done well, back from injury.
Yeah, as well, And for Vardy, do you play him with another striker? So Jose Perez, was at times coming inside. You could play Iheanacho front two, or Patson Daka, the new signing, who looked really sharp again when he came on. Or do you still have enough faith and trust in Vardy to be on his own up front?
Do you know, I worked with Wes Morgan about 18 months ago, Jules, and I asked him about Jamie Vardy, because he's on fire, and he's been on fire for a long time. And I went, what's he like? And he went, he's got the worst diet you've ever seen in your life. He went, he comes to the training ground, packets of crisps, Coke cans. He went, everything falls out of his car. He said he has one Red Bull, one coffee, and he's flying. He went, he's that type of machine.
Yeah.
And every now and again, you get a dressing room where you look at someone, you look at their diet and how they live their life, and he's just an exception. Wes Morgan said he was a freak.
Yeah,
he said,
because
he can afford to burn those calories off. When you watch him, you know, he's been excellent, hasn't he?
He's been
brilliant.
Incredible.
Had a really good game again at the weekend. I think with the likes of Iheanacho and Patson Daka, you've got good backup when needed. I think he likes to play with another striker, even though he can't play as a one. I think he doesn't necessarily gel, I don't think, with Iheanacho. I think Iheanacho had his best period, I think, when Jamie Vardy wasn't in the side, where he was the lead number nine. But Brendan's building a good squad there, where if there's one or two injuries, if there's a little lack of form or suspensions, the number nines now that Leicester have got, they're going to compete. And they don't get a lot of love, I don't think.
No,
at the very start of the season, you know, people go, what's your top four? And straight away you go, well, in whatever order you go, Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea. And then you don't really give Leicester a mention to try and get in there. You know, you know the top four, you know, is what it is with Man U and, as I said, the superstar teams that are in there. But Leicester just keep knocking on that door. The last two seasons, how they've not gotten the top four, it's been astonishing.
It is,
and it's
really
been down to bad luck because of injuries. So I think they do need a little mention, even though that four that I mentioned is going to be difficult to try and break down. But I see good things for Leicester fans. I think positive. And I think Brendan's an excellent manager.
It's a real shame again for Fofana. I know we mentioned it. But for City, on the other hand, you said a lot of work to be done. They've got players only coming in today. We're recording this Monday. The English boys who went far in the Euros, the Brazilians in the Copa America. But KDB has a few issues issues with his ankle, the one that got injured during the Euros, and also at the end of last season. Phil Foden, he's not back training either for that foot injury. And they have a hell of a start of the season too in the league with the games that they have coming up. So are you a bit worried?
Not really, because it's Man City and it's Pep and he'll find a way. I'm concerned because I know what it's like when you miss a pre-season as a player. It's a nightmare. It takes you weeks and weeks and weeks to catch up. But these are different athletes that we're talking about now. Now, you can, in my day, when you missed the pre-season, you took a good month to get back to full sharpness and full fitness. These boys now, they'll be doing work behind the scenes. They'll be doing swimming. They'll be on the bikes. They'll be, you know, their heart rates will be at maximum as much as they can be. The worry is for Man City fans, if they don't get off to a good start, like they didn't last season, and they found themselves in and around sort of eighth or ninth for a long time, then all of a sudden they hit that spurt where they just went from eighth into first and never looked back. There's some chasers this season, aren't they? Man United are going to be strong. Liverpool's an interesting
Chelsea
one.
Chelsea as well.
Chelsea, exactly, if they get Lukaku. So the chasing pack, I think if you're a City fan and you're Pep now, you'll be a little bit concerned, what are they going to do? Because you can imagine a scenario where Liverpool's start the season is actually quite favourable. You can imagine 3 games in, Liverpool might be on 9 points, sitting at the top. Does City really want to be on 3 or 4?
Yeah.
And give them a little bit of a lead. And Chelsea, do they get off to a good start? Because I think United are going to push everyone this season. So Pep will be concerned. At the same time, when he's in the training ground and he's watching Kevin De Bruyne and he knows how far away he is and he sees Phil Foden and he's just signed Jack Grealish and he's got Raheem Sterling and he's got the ever-dependable Gundogan who can play any position you want, not hold a midfielder. So I don't know why he done that in the Champions League final. That was a mystery. But that squad is deep.
Yeah.
And that squad can, even without 2 or 3, they can still carry them.
And Jack Grealish made his debut, only for a little bit towards the end. I think he had 25 touches or something. It's too early, of course, to judge or anything. But it was good to see him play for City so short after the...
He looks well in the kit, doesn't he?
Yeah, the kit suits him well.
Yeah, sometimes you look at someone, you go... It's like Messi when we talk PSG. Yeah, you go, I can't imagine him in a PSG shirt. You can. But when you look at Grealish, you go, that suits him, that kit. I can see him.
Yeah.
Because as a player, you want to play for... Jose Mourinho, you want to play for Guardiola. These are the guys you want to play for.
Definitely.
So his game is going to go on to another level when he fine-tunes exactly what he should be doing and where he will be or where Pep wants him to be on a football pitch. Because the natural talent is there. I wouldn't even say he's raw. He's amazing, but I don't think he's anywhere near 100%. He's not fully developed.
Definitely.
You think what a player he can be for them.
So Don, let's stay a bit with City before going back to Leicester and we've looked at their start of the season in the Premier League season that starts this weekend, where they will have Norwich and Southampton are the two kind of easier games, but then they will be away at Spurs, away at Liverpool, away at Chelsea, and with games at home against Arsenal and Leicester in between. So their first 7 fixtures see them playing, well, 5 of the other 6 big teams, they're just United that they're not playing.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a start to start with.
Incredibly hard start, isn't it? If you're Guardiola, you're looking at that fixture list thinking one or two things, we've got to get off to a good start, or there's going to be a period after that where we might have an easier run of games. So you wouldn't want to get off to a bad start. It wouldn't be unlike City if they did. They didn't get off to a great start last season, but found a way of coming back and were exceptional. But I don't think you want to let teams like Man United, Chelsea, Liverpool, Leicester try and get any sort of gap, because this season of all seasons, I think we're now looking at a 4-horse race. You can add Leicester for a little while, then I think they might obviously fall away because they haven't got the depth of the other sides. But you're looking genuinely now at 4 really strong sides. If you're Guardiola and you're that staff trying to get your players back fit, you want to hit the ground running. You want to play Spurs and you want to try and put them to bed, take them out of the equation very early on, even though it's match day one. Then try and get through the likes of the Norwich games. But then, like you said, Arsenal, Leicester, Southampton, they should win. And then Chelsea and Liverpool.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Unbelievably hard start.
And you'll have an international break in between where players are going to go away, pretty much all of your squads.
Yeah.
Apart from maybe 2 or 3, you could get injury. Some players, as we've been saying, coming back late and they gave them extra rest after the competition for the summer, which is probably the right thing to do. But again, that delays them being ready for this incredible start of the season. And there was a point last season where we said, okay, that's the bad start that they had. I mean, they got spanked by Leicester at home. Was maybe down psychologically, maybe to that defeat against Lyon in the final 8 of the Champions League in the quarterfinal where... Yeah. No one expected them to go out, certainly not that way. Pep tried again, he's like tactical genius.
Couldn't believe they lost.
Backfired completely.
Yeah.
Is there a case that maybe the defeat against Chelsea in the Champions League final in May could maybe have some sort of similar effect psychologically?
I think so, early on, until he gets all the players back. I think that's a case. I think that's a good shout, I think, for the players that are there. Mm. I think what you lean on, obviously, if you're Guardiola, you lean towards the size of your squad. And he'll lean towards, I think, people like Ilkay Gundogan, who I've been saying for a long time now, he's one of my favourite players. Yeah. All around Europe, I know what Mbappe does, and I know what Neymar does, and I know what Messi and Ronaldo, and whichever player you love, I understand what they do. But for a player's player, players love people like Gundogan,
yeah,
who can play any position. He can play a 9 out of 10 every single week. All right, he gets one or two injuries, but not major ones. You know he's got the intelligence to take information.
So
if you're a manager and you're Guardiola, and you give him information, you go, I want you to do this today, and I want you to play this position, and I want you to do this, that, and the other. He's intelligent enough to do it.
Yeah.
And sometimes he sacrifices himself for the greater good. You can see him playing a false nine. He'd done that last season. He had his best goal return last season.
Yeah.
So early on, it'll be, you know, where's Raheem Sterling? Where's Grealish? Where's Torres going to play? But it'll be the likes of Gundogan, I think. The back four, I don't think will change too much. Back five, including the goalkeeper, that won't change too much. But Gundogan's going to be one of those players where Pep will lean on, I think, massively.
And we saw Grealish making his debut. As we said, only one training session with the rest of the team before that game against Leicester. He will have a full week now where he can train with everyone and get his fitness level high up and all of that. You would start him against Spurs, right? You would think,
would.
With all the momentum from the Euros, I think from the transfer, the excitement, the fact that he's there, he must be dying to start again for City.
Absolutely. I think when the bigger picture comes, when City get to Champions League semi-finals and finals, the argument and discussion would be, does he get in City's best 11?
Mm.
That's a whole new debate. But for a player's point of view, when you've just signed for a new football club, you want to put that shirt on, you want to get some rhythm, you want to know your mates, you want to know what the manager wants, you want to feel the excitement, the buzz in the stadium.
Yeah.
I would be stunned if Pep doesn't play him in the first game. I'd be stunned if he doesn't play against Tottenham.
Yeah, okay.
I think it has to be a Grealish start. In whatever position he wants to play him in, is a false nine, is it off the left, off the right, a little bit deeper? But he starts for me every single time.
And while they're waiting for Kane, whether that happens or not, and I'm optimistic, but it won't be anytime soon, as in the next 2 days or something.
Yeah.
We saw Ferran Torres playing in that number nine role that he played last season in the Champions League, for example, and did quite well, certainly in the group stages. But he's still a bit lightweight, right, for those kind of games. And Gabriel Jesus only reporting back for training on Monday, so he's not going to be ready for maybe another 2 weeks or something.
Mm.
They will have to find... Either they find their mojo again of playing with the force number nine, like you've been so many times, which might work, no problem. But also, they might struggle for a bit of impact up front if they don't.
They might do, but I see them going false nine. I think Pep's probably looking at this start and looking at the players that he's got unavailable.
Yeah.
And he says, right, how can we, not carry, but how can we get the best start out of the squad of the players that's available? I think if Ferran Torres does play, it'll be off the right-hand side. And I think we'll certainly see, for the first two or three games, I think we'll see a false nine. Could be Raheem Sterling, he's done that before. Could be Jack Grealish. Could be Ilkay Gundogan, as I said. So he's got enough bodies there to lean on any sort of different system if he wants. He's got enough bodies there. As I said, the back five, I don't think will change. I think it depends on what he wants. I think Cancelo's the best left back apart from Zinchenko. I don't see Mendy in long term having a future there. So I see Cancelo there, I see Walker at right back, I see Ruben Diaz, I see John Stones, and I see Edison. I think that's their solid back five.
Yeah, yeah. And I think Nathan Aki with that big mistake as well. So.
Then I think take your pick. Who do you like? Do you like Fernandinho? Do you like Rodri? So you got a hold of midfield player there that's going to sit in there for a period of time. And then, as I said, you've got these players that I mentioned to go and play the Guardiola way. And I think he gets through Spurs, Norwich and Arsenal, and maybe up to Leicester, playing a false nine until he gets the man that he wants, which I think is still going to happen in Harry Kane. I think that's, I wouldn't say inevitable, but I think it'll be done before the season starts.
Mm.
And then you get him up to speed, and then all of a sudden, it's a different animal City then, isn't it?
Yeah,
all of a sudden, now you're sitting, oh, it's a bad, it's a difficult start. You haven't got any front men. They might be carrying false nines. You bring Harry Kane in, he guarantees you 40 a season. All of a sudden, City fans are delighted.
I mean, it'd be fascinating to see their start of the season. The Leicester start of the season is, apart from the City game that they will have to play is a bit more favourable. I mean, quite favourable. They start with Wolverhampton, then they've got West Ham, Norwich, so the Man City game, Brighton, Burnley, Crystal Palace. So for them, with what we saw in that game, the Community Shield, the sharpness, the fitness, the fact that Maddison had a really good game, and we talked about Maddison in particular in a little bit. Vardy looked sharp, Barnes coming back from that injury that stopped him at the wrong time, really, because he could have maybe even made the Euro squad. We don't know. And despite losing Fofana, this is a good time for Leicester, as you said, you know, not to count out.
No, I think you know, when we all get asked at the start of the season, who's your top four? And we go City, United, Chelsea, Liverpool. And then Leicester comes into the conversation, but only after you've mentioned those four. But well, they've been knocking on the door seriously for 2 years.
Yeah.
And I felt sorry for Leicester fans that injuries blighted their chances of getting Champions League football. They should have been there the year before. They certainly should have been there last season. They were in the top four nearly all of the season until the last probably month. So if you're a Leicester fan now and you're watching Brendan Rodgers do his work with the likes of Patson Daka coming in and Ayoze Perez, who's a good player, and Jamie Vardy and Iheanacho, then the holding midfield players, keep the likes of Pereira fit, stay away from injuries if you're him. You know, really, really good players, exciting players. Tielemans signing, when that happened a couple of seasons back, I thought, wow. You know, no disrespect to Leicester, but I thought he could have went on to a huge club like Liverpool, like Man United, that sort of standard. So you can see where Leicester want to be. If the likes of, if my opinion's correct, where I'm mentioning Tielemans to Man United and Liverpool, you know, Leicester fans are going, you can play for us then, because we want to be in the Champions League. Yeah, so rightly completely. So. So you can actually, you can so see the direction of where Leicester want to be, and they're not far away.
No, they're not. And James Maddison might still be there for the whole season, might not, he might be sold. We know that Arsenal are quite interesting. And they should be. I think he's an incredible talent. And I know in his position, there's a lot of talented English players. And I can see why he didn't go to the Euros. But I really want him to be that consistent, have that season where he gets over 10 goals and assists, which I think he really could. Yeah. I think he has enough talent to do that if he's got no injuries to start with, if he gets in the right mindset, maybe that's the problem. Because I think he's such an intelligent guy. He's such a good player that I don't know why he's holding him up, but he looks like there's something.
You think it might be personal, didn't you? In terms of either living your lifestyle differently.
I don't know him at all.
But that's what I see. I see a talent. I see a guy like you said, Jules, at the start of the season as a midfield player myself, you set yourself targets and it's 10 goals, 10 assists. Mm. That's your target as a midfield player.
He should get that easily.
He should be getting that easily or very close to it. So you start to then think, right, what's his character like? Is he living his lifestyle the right way? Is his diet the right way? Mm-hmm. Is he training as hard as what he should be? Some players, if you mention someone like Eden Hazard, some people like not to be the main man. Some people like being, you know, someone that's on the sidelines and being that sort of character. So what I want to see from James Maddison is someone that's a little bit more ruthless. I want to see the man that gets those 10 goals. And once he gets 10, I want to see him setting a new target and being 15. Mm. Once he gets his 10 assists, new target, 15 assists, 20 assists, whatever the number might be. But now kick on, because we've all been talking about all these number 10s, especially the English number 10s that are exceptional. He should be in that conversation, but only he can do this. Because the other boys now are just starting to go away from him.
Yeah.
So he's got to catch them up, and that's down to him.
8 goals and 5 assists in the Premier League last season, 31 games he played in total. Yeah. I think there was 26
starts. Not bad, but could be a lot better.
8 and 5. If the 5 assists, when you've got Vardy ahead of you, Iheanacho, when you've got a team that plays attacking football, it's not that you always play on the counter and you only score set pieces goals. 5 is just, I'm like, okay, man, come on, show us, because you've got that.
Depends
in you.
How the dynamics of the games went, because, you know, 5 assists are still not bad, because I always talk about the assists, and the assists are one little bugbear of mine where, you know, if you're my centre forward, Jules, and I'm playing behind you, and I put you through 4 times in the game,
you
miss every single chance. Have I had a bad game?
No, but you should have had 4 assists and you had 0.
Exactly. The dynamics of the games can change. But again, when you see it in black and white and you go 8 and 5, come on, up the assists a little bit more, get to double figures, because you've got the talent. You can score the goals. Goals definitely are not a problem. But that's where I want to see him be ruthless. Don't settle for 8, because 8 can be comfortable and 8 can be, I've done okay this season. The best players in the world don't do okay, do they?
No,
they do exceptional.
You're right. And finally, though, we could not end this segment on the Community Shield without mentioning your Community Shield experience, because you played in one at Wembley as well a long time ago. So long ago, and you're getting old, that your memory is playing tricks. You thought you drew 4-4 with Leeds when you were at Liverpool.
I did. What was the correct score?
You lost 4-3. I even said to you, what, 4-4? Did you share the commentary?
And I said, yes.
Yeah, I think I did.
We shared it, yeah. 4-4.
You thought you had a medal, but you didn't have a medal.
I did. I had a loser's one. I was convinced it was 4-4 because it was a mental game. What I do remember, Cantona played for Leeds.
Yeah.
And he scored 3.
Yeah, you got that right.
Yeah.
Just
got the score.
I mean,
wrong.
You got subbed off in the 72nd,
subbed
I think.
On. Subbed on.
Subbed on, sorry.
Yeah.
And it was 2-2.
Yeah. So what are you saying? It's my fault.
I mean, no, I'm saying, like, had they started you probably would have won the game.
Thank you, Jules.
That's what I meant. What was it to play against Cantona that era? That was just before the move to
United. Yeah, well, that's again when you're a young player, when you're 18, 19, and you get to Wembley and you play for Liverpool, you're expected to win. Because that's what Liverpool have done for like 30, 40 years. You win when you go to Wembley. So even though it was the Charity Shield back then, and it's still got that feeling of being sort of friendly, if you like, even though it's not, because we're competitive beasts and we want to win. But I remember the day, boiling hot, I was never great in the sun. I am the worst. Jules, if you're picking an 11 and you say to me, the temperature's boiling hot, sunshine, I go, put me on the bench, Jules, because I'll be a waste of time.
Because
stick me in the rain, stick me in the cold, and I was a cross-country runner. I could run for fun.
When it's too hot.
Sunshine, I just felt my legs. You speak to pros, and a lot of pros will tell you, if in the sunshine, blazing hot, sometimes your legs feel dead.
Yeah.
And I was one of those in the sunshine. I just felt dead. I felt like nighttime games, Upton Park, Anfield, wherever I play, Goodison Park, stick me in the rain. I could do 17K every single game, 15K, not a problem. Sunshine, shambles all over the place. That's why I thought it was 4-4. So I was dehydrated.
Oh, my God. I mean, almost a great memory. Still
almost.
A great memory.
Yeah.
Still a great memory.
Even though I lost.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Enough Leicester and Manchester City. What about quick hits now, Don?
Let's go, Jules.
Well, PSG were busy, but Chelsea were busy as well with Romelu Lukaku. Are you as excited as me that he's coming back to the Bridge?
I am. I mean, I can't imagine being an Inter fan.
I can't imagine
the scenario.
Spare a thought for them.
Exactly. Losing your manager, losing Hakimi, losing Christian Eriksen, losing maybe Lautaro Martinez, losing Lukaku. It's awful. But for a Chelsea fan, I think if you're watching on and you're watching the news and the development, I mean, that's the only thing I think stopping them from winning the title this season. If they don't get Lukaku, I don't think they get anywhere near top two. They certainly don't win the league with him. Mm. I mean, what a chance they've got.
I mean,
it's going to be absolutely fascinating.
That big.
Talk me through League One. Ligue 1, sorry, Jules, at the weekend. Exciting.
Oh, man, it was so good. It was really good. I mean, PSG struggled a little bit to win at Troyes, but we saw a great game between Montpellier and Marseille. Marseille coming back from 2 goals down to win. We saw, even if there was a few draws, but the quality of the game was good. There's a lot of new managers who bring new ideas, a back three, but a lot of them with attacking tactics and philosophy, and which I love. So it was very promising.
Yeah.
I thought for a first weekend when your fitness
tempo
level
good.
Not the best.
Tempo good?
Yeah, tempo good. The crowd at back, which as you would expect, makes a big difference. So no, I was really happy with the start of Ligue 1. Harry Kane is still alive. Don, you'd be glad to know. And he even turned up for training eventually.
He
said he did nothing wrong. Do you believe him? And what do you think is going to happen now?
I still believe he moves. Doing nothing wrong, I don't buy. I think he knows exactly what he's doing. When you go away for a holiday with the family, you'll factor in, especially now, the quarantine rules and what COVID brings, and you know when you've got to be back in the country. So I think maybe that was a little message and a little bit naughty. It's something I've never not done. Even when I've been negotiating transfers from one club to another, I've always made sure I turned up for day one of pre-season. So I think that was just a slight message, just to let Tottenham, especially Daniel Levy, know exactly the position that he stands, that he finds himself in. And I think he moves. I honestly think it's been dragging on for quite a while. And I think, as I say, only matter of time. I don't mean in the next 2 or 3 days. I mean probably in the next 10 days, 2 weeks, I think that happens.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So it has to, I think, for him. Yeah. I think if you want to be considered one of the greats, you've got to fill your trophy cabinet.
Yeah, definitely. And for Spurs, it'd be the right thing if the right money is on the table to open
exactly.
the door.
Well, talking of potential replacements, Lautaro Martinez to Tottenham.
Yeah, you're right. There's a few sources now telling us that the two clubs are discussing, and not just discussing a move that is getting really serious now. Lautaro had a great season with Lukaku as a front two. Mm-hmm. So you could imagine him and Heung-min Son playing together up front. Son,
is that light?
Son not light? The same profile as Lukaku, of course, but it'd be interesting to see. I think he's a very talented kid.
Yeah.
And obviously, just 1 year left on his contract. So maybe if there's a deal to be done, it's now. But I mean, that would be even worse for Inter Milan if they also lose Lautaro after losing Lukaku and Hakimi and Conte, man. It'd be crazy. But for Spurs fans, you know, I think Brian Hill is a very good, really good signing. Romero, the centre-back, is really good signing too.
Yeah.
I like what they're doing with, clearly, this is the Kane money. Come on, let's not kill ourselves.
And don't blow it like they did last time on the Bale money.
Oh, exactly, man. Exactly. Liverpool drew, one of your former clubs, drew with Athletic Bilbao in a friendly on Sunday. The good news, Don, is that Virgil van Dijk played, I think, 72 minutes and did really well. The bad news is Andrew Robertson.
Yeah, he got a nasty ankle injury that we're waiting on the report of the scan. That's a blow for someone that played every minute or certainly started every game last season and has done for quite a while. You know, never had too much injuries. He's been Liverpool's best left back for quite a number of times, arguably the best in the world in that position. So that'll be a big blow. We'll have to see what the reports are of that scan. But Tsimikas has had a good pre-season. I've been watching a lot of Liverpool TV, and I speak to my good friend of mine, Jason McAteer, who's been obviously working for Liverpool TV, and he's been telling me more about their pre-season. And there's been one or two players that have gone under the radar. Oxlade-Chamberlain has been playing as a false nine. Yeah. Harvey Elliott's been absolutely sensational. And Tsimikas at left-back's had a really good pre-season as well. So that will be a blow losing Andy Robertson, but not the end of the world. But especially the good news is that Virgil van Dijk played over 70 minutes.
Do you think he would start the season?
Van Dijk?
Yeah. Starting that game. They've got another friendly, I think, against Osasuna, maybe before the first Premier League
Depending on what his numbers and how his fitness looks, because they've still got Konate, they've got Matip, they've got Joe Gomez. So there's enough there. And again, I think probably Jurgen probably looks at it and thinks, right, where's he at? Is he fit enough to start? If he is, Norwich, first day of the season, maybe he starts. Erling Haaland. He's back. Did you see him on social media with all his gear?
Yeah, all the gear.
Only he can pull that off. But he's back on the pitch.
The hair. He scored a hat-trick for the first game of the season, albeit against the third division team in the German Cup. But still, he looked sharp. They looked good. Him and Marco Reus combining really well. So we know he's going to stay. It's exciting for him. And you know, it's always good to start the season well, even if it's just a meaningless, in a way, cup game. While we're waiting for the Premier League to start, we had the Championship already done. Yeah. And with maybe an unexpected leader, and certainly the three teams that went down from the Premier League, none of them winning. What's going on?
That can be a shock, Jules, when you go down. Big shock, but at the same time, it can be a reality check.
Yeah.
You know, you go down, I've been there before, when you go down and you think, right, Championship, got to get off to a good start, and you don't. I can remember doing it with Sheffield United, with Howard Kendall, and we were playing away Plymouth somewhere really down south, and we had an awful journey back to Sheffield, 5-6 hours, and the manager actually pulled over at a pub, made sure everyone had a drink on the way home, and said, look, that one's out the way.
Yeah.
We've got off to a bad start, that result is gone. You need to know the division that you're playing in now, because this is, in my opinion, I think it's a brilliant league to play in. For a player, the Championship is a brutal league. You've got to be fit, you've got to be strong, you've got to be mentally fit, you've got to play through the knocks. You're never fit, never 100% fit. So it is a surprise that all three lost, obviously, but sometimes it might not just be the end of the world that they have lost, because it just puts a little reality check on where they need to be.
Yeah, so Sheffield United lost, but the other two drew, but and Hull City are the leaders, so I'm not sure how long they stay there.
Olympics, Jules, did you watch it? I was addicted.
Amazing, man.
I was addicted to every sport, but especially the footy.
Yeah, the football was good, I thought, both men and women. I mean, big, big well done to Canada for winning that gold medal, and they beat the US in the semis and Sweden on penalties in the final, and I think this is such a great story for Christian Sinclair, for some of the younger players that they have as well. It's a bit of a shame for the US, but I guess you can't win every single time. And for the men, I thought that final between Brazil and Spain was fantastic. Spain were great. I love Mexico, I love Japan, and I like to see football at that kind of level in the Olympics.
So it's back to back, isn't it, for Brazil?
It is.
Dani Alves, what a story.
It is indeed.
Amazing.
Don, Spurs beat Arsenal on a friendly, quite feisty friendly on Sunday with Heung-min Son scoring the only goal. But maybe the best thing about the game was the support that Bukayo Saka got when he came on from the Spurs crowd.
Amazing, wasn't it?
It was so good.
Honestly, the kids went through so much turmoil this summer. And it was nice to see the Tottenham fans give him so much support. I think it's amazing. I think it tells you everything about the fans. I think, you know, sometimes when we get a little bit hostile because we love our team and all the aggression sort of comes out if you're a fan. Sometimes, or a lot of times, you see the good side in fans.
Yeah.
And I thought the Tottenham fans come out with it with so much credit.
I agree.
You know, I think it was an amazing gesture. I think for him, it would have warmed his heart. It would have probably been a little bit emotional, a little bit tearful for him. Especially in a sort of London derby, even though it was a friendly, he would have felt as though,
completely,
you know, that was massive, I think.
Yeah.
And it put Tottenham, I think, in a really good light.
Yeah, great touch.
I thought it was amazing. Mm. Right, Jules, talk me through the shambles. Ipswich Town putting Ed Sheeran on the bench or in their squad at number 17. What's happening there?
So you know he's the club sponsor.
Yes.
He sponsored the kit.
Yeah.
But now they took this to another level where he's actually a squad member.
What?
Number 17. They want him on the team photo. I'm like, what's going on?
But can he play? Is he registered?
I'm not sure if he can even sing. Let alone play football. I mean, why would you do that, Ipswich Town? I like you. We like you. You're a historic club in England. This is ridiculous. Come on, please.
So he's gonna make the team photo.
Paul Cook said he wants him on the team
he's
photo.
He's got the number 17 shirt.
17, Sheeran at the back. I mean, I guess Sheeran in the front as well. Sheeran on the sleeve, Sheeran on the shorts. I mean, next time it's a stand called Ed Sheeran Stands.
Wow.
I don't know, man. This has to stop.
Footballer.
Footballer. Well, that's all we have time for today. Don, thank you so much.
Anytime, mate.
Man, for joining me today. We'll be back on Thursday to preview the Premier League season, which starts next weekend, of course. Make sure you join us. And as Gav always says, love yourself, love the game, love your neighbour.
Real quick, what's the easiest choice you can make? Window seat over middle? Taco Tuesday over salad. What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/gabjules, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/gabjules now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/gabjules.